WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The White House and the Kremlin agreeing to talks between President Trump and President Putin. President Trump wants Ukrainian President Zelensky to also be there, but Russia seems unlikely to agree to that. The United States now officially leveling higher taxes on imports from dozens of countries. Just after midnight, goods on more than 60 countries will face tariffs of 10% or higher. Big problems at a big airline.
One of the largest airlines in the world grinding to a halt last night. Just after 6 p.m., a system at United Airlines that calculates weight and balance and tracks flight times went offline, triggering ground stops from Newark and Denver to Houston and Chicago. Passengers stuck on planes for hours, more than 1,000 flights delayed, dozens canceled.
ABC's Lana Moise, things getting back to normal a bit this morning. Still no motive in the shooting of five soldiers at Fort Stewart, Georgia. The accused shooter, Sergeant Cornelius Radford, is under arrest. All five soldiers shot are expected to live. This is ABC News.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And the schedule, so I think it's going to be packed, you know, going there one time a year. And really just the racing that it's going to put out there is going to be second to none. So I'm excited about it. Also, I think for a lot of us, I believe we're running the option tire that we ran last year, and maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but that'll create a different dynamic as well.
This is the final lap.
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. So you ask, how do hands-free Skechers Slip-ins work? Well, it's like they have this invisible built-in shoehorn so your foot slides into place. Then our heel pillow keeps your foot comfy and secure. And Slip-ins are for the whole family, men, women, and kids, in all your favorite Skechers styles, from sneakers to casual shoes and even sandals. Yes, even sandals. So raise your hands in the air and put your shoes on like you just don't care, because you just went hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
In my County Farm Bureau, I'm more than a member. I'm an advocate for local farms and families. Serving on the board has given me a chance to create real change in our community. From organizing volunteer opportunities to promoting agriculture at local events, we connect our neighbors to the farms that feed them. Together, we're building a stronger and well-informed community. Join us and make a difference today.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin.
Want to know one thing worse than not having a website? Having a bad website, like not being user-friendly. Ugh, people hate that. Websticks will take your website from bad to rad. That's funny. Anyway, you buy blocks of time. With just one block, Websticks can add a search button or update a logo. Little things that make a huge difference. Find out more at Websticks.com. That's Websticks with an X.com.
Stunning sites, more clicks, web support from Websticks.
Sasquatch? A myth. Semaglutide makes you lose muscle? Also a myth. At Ignite Wellness Partners in Dane County, they're setting the record straight. Semaglutide doesn't strip your muscle, it strips the fat that's been hiding it. Suddenly, you can finally see the results. Your hard work begins to show, and that drives you harder in the gym. This isn't some online gimmick. It's personal and proven to work. Schedule your free consultation at ignitewellnesspartners.com. Real results right here in Dane County.
When your kids were little, your house was the cool place where everyone wanted to hang out. You loved it. Now that they're grown and gone, wouldn't you love to reclaim what was yours? Time for a living space upgrade with W.E. Davies & Sons Remodeling, a third-generation family-owned remodeling company. Their 50 years of experience will bring a fresh perspective to your project. They'll make sure you know it's yours now.
For stunning, transformative results, visit wedaviesremodeling.com.
The JR Sport Brief.
I know one thing that we won't see. Probably Leon Rose speaking to the media when Mike Brown is introduced. We will definitely not see James Dolan. The Knicks are going to nick. Mike Brown is going to be cooked. It's only going to be a matter of time before he gets ripped to shreds. And everybody's going to be ready to move on from him. It's like if there's a silver lining anywhere, it's for Mike Brown. And it's the fact that he will be the one who ultimately gets paid.
96.7 FM. 1670 AM. The Zone.
Good morning, Wisconsin, and welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Ben Jarboe, along with you for my last day of morning show duties for the week. Tomorrow, you'll have the fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke back in the big chair to keep you up to date on all your ag news. I hear smoke is still in the air around the state, but we'll get an update on if that'll move out in just a few minutes with ag meteorologist Stu Muck. Later in the hour, Jenny Weckershauser, a dairy broker with EverAg, joins the show to give us an update on all things dairy markets. Also on the docket, the temps are looking to warm up some again this weekend, so Aubrey Schlimgen has a chat with Melissa Pluckelman-Brown, an outreach specialist with the National Farm Medicine Center, to give some tips on how to stay cool while working out in the heat. We are also getting a look into one of Wisconsin's more unique specialty crops when Kylie Allen talks with Richard Gums of Gums Farms about the current lackluster mint harvest. Coming up next, Farm Director Pam Yonke is joined by the Wisconsin FFA Association's Executive Director, Cheryl Zimmerman, to give some insight on the current ag teacher shortage. From the mint fields to the classroom, we have a lot to learn about Wisconsin agriculture today, so make sure to stick around.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Wisconsin has always been a leader when it comes to the FFA, both within our borders and beyond. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. As we get closer to the beginning of the new school year, it's also important to take a look at how our agriculture educator inventory is looking to keep the curriculum healthy and thriving, as well as the student involvement in the FFA. That's where Cheryl Zimmerman has trained her eye. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Association. What you may not realize is she is also the national FFA executive secretary, a position she's had for a few years now. That's where we start this conversation with Cheryl Zimmerman, finding out what those responsibilities entail.
Well, actually, in 2019, I was selected to serve in this role because that was the change when the United States Department of Education positions were no longer had the advisor and the executive secretary hired through the Department of Education. And so we redid the charter and everything. And so Dr. Woodard at the time and myself were selected to serve in that position. And so now, you know, it's been a few years and I still have the opportunity to serve in the role of, it's a board position that works with the board of directors to help guide the national organization. And so we're kind of the governing committee along with the advisor, the treasurer, myself, along with Scott Stump, who is the CEO, and the National FFA president. We serve as the governing committee of the National Board of Directors.
It's a busy time. Tell them a little bit about not only some of the business that has to be handled, but membership robust as ever.
Oh, it is. Actually, we are here in Wisconsin. We have hit an all-time high ever of membership. Over 27,500 members. We continue to grow. We're adding chapters. This year, we're looking at adding 5 more chapters, adding a second virtual chapter, growing in the middle school area. So it's really exciting. And on the national level, we've hit well over 1 million members. So we're growing and still have the potential to do so.
Tell us a little bit about one of the items that will be discussed in October that helps to solidify the commitment to the FFA organization.
Yeah, well, actually, the affiliated membership, it's been around since 2010, and that's where the agricultural education instructors have the opportunity where all of their ag ed students our FFA members. It's not like we have to ask them for dues. There's a chapter fee that they would pay, and then all students that are in the classes of ag education then can be FFA members. Well, in November, we do have a constitutional amendment going to the delegates where we would make that 100% across the whole United States. Right now, it's an option, so people can pay traditional dues or they can pay the affiliated fees, but what this would do is then make it 100% totally affiliated for all states. And then, I mean, it's really the philosophy of ag education to have the classroom experience, the FFA experience, and the supervised agricultural education experience, or supervised agricultural experience. You know, instead of asking kids to, hey, you want to pay your dues to be a member, the affiliated option says, hey, you're a member of FFA, what do you want to do and how can I get you involved? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the philosophy behind the affiliated membership.
Now, usually with an FFA chapter, that requires a 12-month contract for the teacher. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is addressed? Does that ever pose any challenges when it comes to adoption of something like this?
Not necessarily. You know, that summer contract, obviously we want to, teachers are definitely involved in summer activities through our conventions, officer retreats, fairs, and, you know, it just varies nationwide. I mean, what it will do is you've got some programs that may go from, you know, 50 FFA members to 100 members, you know, mm-hmm. and that type of thing. So, again, the challenge to continue to get them involved. So it may be some more summer activities, it may be more activities throughout the school year. But really what the purpose is of this is to take down a barrier of having to pay extra money from a mm-hmm. student's perspective mm-hmm. to be a part of FFA. Mm-hmm. Funding is a challenge. You know, that's one of our biggest, you know, we talk about the pros and cons of this. There is some funding, obviously, that changes. But it's hopefully taking it away from the student that has to pull out their wallet yeah. and say, here's money, now can I be a member? It's to say, hey, I'm a member of the organization. What else can I do to get involved?
Right, right. How is the National FFA as an organization financially speaking, Cheryl? Not to get deep in the weeds, but we were just having a conversation about how the climate in agriculture for opportunities, for employment, just basic size of what we're doing is changing. It's dynamic. How does that influence the National FFA?
Well, at our Washington, D.C. State Officer Summit this last week, Dr. Park and I and Scott Stump, we gave a state of the organization, and we are doing very well financially. We're very stable, even compared to a number of years ago when it was a little more, you know, not as stable. We feel really proud that we've been able to do this with the organization, with a growing membership, growing opportunities, but it's not without always being cautious and knowing, you know, what programs we offer, where the funding comes from, and obviously we have tremendous sponsors that step up, and they truly believe in FFA, and even when times get a little tough as far as finances, they're still there to support us, and we appreciate that so, so much, and they really believe in what, you know, we're doing to support young people for the future of agriculture and leadership, and, you know, even being a part of state activities like our FFA Foundation golf outings, and, you know, the people step up and really help to support us, and we really, really appreciate that.
Do we see any new faces interested in FFA, what it stands for, the youth that it represents? You know, agriculture is not the only area where these young people can have an impact. I'm wondering if some of those non-traditional businesses are intrigued.
Oh, I mean, we are. Obviously, one of our newer sponsors that have come on was Microsoft, and they've created a program. It's called Farm Beats, and we've got a few schools in Wisconsin that have piloted that program. And so taking technology and putting it to use in the greenhouse to experiment what would this even be like if you, you know, implemented out into the fields of agriculture, you know. We've got some of those non-traditional sponsors that are coming in, but I think it's really cool because, again, you know, a lot of students, obviously, as they come through ag education, we hope to obviously direct them into an agricultural career. But we know not all students will. But the experience to become educated about agriculture, the ag literacy part of things, and the leadership part is really important to all students. And we've got companies and businesses and sponsors out there that they see that value of what FFA is doing for the overall young person.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl Zimmerman along with us. Again, she's our Executive Secretary of Wisconsin FFA and also a Executive Secretary on the national scene. Let's talk a little bit about how we're doing. Teachers are always in short supply. I'm going to venture to guess that you can't find a state where they're saying, wow, we're full. We've got everybody that we need. Give us a little sense on
how that's pacing nationally and right here at home.
Yeah, it's a national thing. I mean, as far as teacher shortage, we can always use more ag teachers. Interestingly enough, this year, though, it looks like we didn't have quite, well, we didn't have quite as many retirements. We still have a lot of movement around with the teachers, but a little less than usual. Sometimes we can say maybe we have 50 or 60. This year, maybe 30. But what we're finding is this. We have ag programs that are adding more teachers. So now we have several programs that have 3, 4, and 5 ag teachers. We're adding programs, and so we're also going into the virtual dimension of FFA. We started our first virtual program in McFarland with Destinations Career Academy. We're going to be chartering our second one now with iForward out of Grantsburg, Wisconsin. And so that's kind of a new dimension. But, there are opportunities to be an educator for agriculture. And we've still got some openings before the school year starts.
And that's not just Wisconsin.
No, it's not. It's a nationwide perspective. Actually, the National Association of Agricultural Educators, our teacher organization, they really have a specific program that focuses on how do we recruit and retain teachers, too. Because that's the other thing that we're finding is, I'm one of the old-timers now. I'm really saying that. But, they don't necessarily stay in the positions for 30 years now. There's a lot of moving around, and so I think we've just had to get used to that fact that, some people will come in, they'll be a teacher for a while, then they'll move on to something else, but we need to make sure we have the talent pool ready to fill the positions as people move around, too.
Well, and I know in Wisconsin we always kind of traditionally look to UW-River Falls as a major artery for those teachers. How is the candidate pool looking? I mean, we talk about, on one hand about maybe on the short term, not as many career opportunities in some areas of agriculture, but like you said, teachers are always in need. How does that pool look at places like UW-River Falls?
I think it's looking really good, actually, and also UW-Platteville. We've got some teachers coming out of there, and each year I have the opportunity. I do go to River Falls and this last year to Platteville, and the thing is there's a great number of students that are majoring in ag education, but the other thing that happens when you major in ag education is that industry finds these people, too. And so, then that gives them a lot of options. And, we've got people coming in the pipeline, but we also have people. And I know in River Falls, too, we share some of our people with Minnesota and other states. And so, like I said, it's a nationwide thing. So all states are looking for people and pulling from wherever they can get teachers.
So the bottom line, if you've got an agriculture educator in your school system, the next time you see them, thank them. Cheryl Zimmerman, Executive Director of the Wisconsin FFA Association, also serving on the National FFA Board. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A legal challenge against the Line 5 oil pipeline is set to begin August 12th in Ashland. Canadian oil giant Enbridge wants to trench and blast across northern Wisconsin to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline. Environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are challenging permits and other approvals for the project issued by the DNR. Environmental groups across Wisconsin are calling on the state's congressional representatives not to support a bill that would weaken the Clean Water Act. The so-called Permit Act would, among other harms, allow polluters to release PFAS forever chemicals into waterways without telling state officials, allow massive amounts of pesticides to be released into waterways, and fast-track projects that destroy wetlands and streams. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by YouTube influencer Wheezy Waiter, a.k.a. Craig Benzine, director of No Packers, No Life. Then Savannah Schindler from the Beloit Cub Open joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You may actually find it starts to cool a little bit when you head that far north. Otherwise, there's still some very hot air that's going to settle in here. I mean, we look on toward Friday and Saturday, we're talking daytime highs in the southern half of the state, at least almost 90, with heat indexes that push up above into the upper 90s. That's going to be Friday and Saturday. Very hot and humid and sticky conditions in store. Believe it or not, the far northwest part of the state, up to Hayward and all the way up to Duluth Superior, they're going to be under an extreme heat watch Friday afternoon into Friday evening, because it's going to be that very much warmer at that time. There's still a front out to the west, way out from far northwest Minnesota back to Wyoming. Weather radar indicating a couple areas of rain up over Lake Superior and down in south central Iowa. Nothing really happening in between that. Well, there may be a couple of hit or miss showers here in central Wisconsin and in the far west as well. But that's just very small areas of some light rain. That's a possibility we're going to be faced with, I think, as the day rolls on, as that front tries to approach. A slight chance of a very scattered shower or possibly an isolated thunderstorm may develop here as we head toward the afternoon or into the evening hours. A little more likely some rain this evening into the nighttime, when some quarter to half inch amounts become the possibility. And then that front tries to pass through into the weekend. A slight rain chance a little later on Friday again. And then a little later Saturday into Saturday night. That's when the front itself finally is going to push through Wisconsin on its way east. Rain could be heavier. Saturday night, in fact, is when we're talking rain amounts up to a half or 1 inch becoming the possibility. More wet as we head through the weekend. That knocks those temperatures down. Finally, it won't be as hot as we head toward Sunday or even on toward Monday, back into the lower 80s. That's a lot closer to normal and to break from what's going to be a very hot wrap-up to our week and a very hot start to the weekend. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Bavaria sausage is so much more than just award-winning brats. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke can attest to it. They've got all kinds of fantastic food, both online and in their store location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Did you know that if you stop by Bavaria Sausage, you can pick up not only those award-winning brats for your grill, but also restaurant-quality cooking essentials like burgers, chicken, pork chops, and steak. They want your event to be fabulous, and they've got it all ready to go. As always, you can check out their website, BavariaSausage.com. Have goods delivered directly to you, or if you're in the area, stop on by. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. And don't forget, every Friday, rain or shine, they've got their fabulous brat fry. Follow them on Facebook to know exactly what flavor they're serving up. Bavaria Sausage.
Well, Sue, I know I was mentioning this when we were off air, but yesterday Pam was sending us updates about the Governor's State Blue Ribbon Auction, where the top steer went for $35,000. Will those fairgoers be able to enjoy the end of the fair here?
Oh, I think today sounds great, but yeah, the heat does turn up as we head to Friday and Saturday, when it's going to be more important to take care of ourselves and those livestock too. Ventilation, plenty of water, you know, do the same for yourself, hydrate. Our forecast, including that partly sunny sky today and the chance for a scattered shower, possibly a thunderstorm. Yet this morning in the northwest, in the afternoon, the further you are to the east and south, temps today push into the upper 80s as the south winds hold on around 5 to 10. More likely we see some of that rain overnight. Temps overnight not falling much. Upper 60s, low 70s. South winds about 5. And even tomorrow there could be a little rain. but I'd expect a mostly sunny, hot day. A lot of us in the very upper 80s or the low 90s, a heat index pushing into the upper 90s, south breezes at 5 to 10, and mostly sunny Saturday, Ben. Maybe a slight rain chance later in the day, more likely toward the nighttime. And Saturday, again, upper 80s around 90, another very hot day. It will become more comfortable by Sunday next week, but we're going to wrap it up with a hot one, Ben.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure I'm drinking plenty of water even up in the Northwoods this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Take care of yourself while you're having fun.
All right. Well, thank you, Sue. That was Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. Stay tuned for more.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matinair on Air. Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden joins the show to talk about the LFPA program.
The LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops.
Yeah, this program seems like a win-win to me. It's good for the farmers who are incentivized to produce this food. It's good for the food pantries. It's not like the government is coming to Wisconsin farmers and saying, you have to grow X acres of food, and then I want you to give it away to hungry people. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. You know, there's a payment-based system there on what the farmer is going to produce for this market that's been established. It's there. It's also something that's getting, you know, that those fresh fruits and vegetables more directly into the consumer hand and making it more available for more people. You know, when we look at what's going on in the general grocery store aisles, you know, most of those products are not fresh anymore.
Right.
They're getting to be a week or 2 weeks old because of the distribution network. They go from the farm to a processor to a distribution center, and you got a whole week that's passed already before it ever gets to that local grocery store shelf. So, you know, this is getting something in people's mouths within 72 to 96 hours from when it was picked off the land. And, you know, why aren't we doing more of this across the whole country, you know, versus depending on a food system that's really broken at this point?
Well, and again, now we're talking about making more restrictions for people who do receive food stamps and those kinds of benefits. We want to restrict what they can buy in the stores because we want them to buy healthier things. Mm-hmm. And then yet at the same time, we're going to take away these healthier options and hurt our farmers at the same time. There's so much stuff working at cross purposes in this bill.
Yeah, it is, you know, and certainly we would like to see the farm bill, you know, pass as it is. There's a ton of improvements that can be made, but in this current political situation, that simply isn't going to happen. But let's pass the farm bill as a farm bill and not have it in this big, beautiful bill that's going to, you know, be a detriment to the whole country, not only on the budget deficit that we're going to see, but also, you know, the programs that are being cut and not being helpful to, number one, the American farmers, but number two, the consuming public.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matinair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The White House and the Kremlin agreeing to talks between President Trump and President Putin. President Trump wants Ukrainian President Zelensky to also be there, but Russia seems unlikely to agree to that. The United States now officially leveling higher taxes on imports from dozens of countries. Just after midnight, goods on more than 60 countries will face tariffs of 10% or higher. Big problems at a big airline.
One of the largest airlines in the world grinding to a halt last night. Just after 6 p.m., a system at United Airlines that calculates weight and balance and tracks flight times went offline, triggering ground stops from Newark and Denver to Houston and Chicago. Passengers stuck on planes for hours, more than 1,000 flights delayed, dozens canceled.
ABC's Lana Moise, things getting back to normal a bit this morning. Still no motive in the shooting of five soldiers at Fort Stewart, Georgia. The accused shooter, Sergeant Cornelius Radford, is under arrest. All five soldiers shot are expected to live. This is ABC News.
The Pack prepares for the Jets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the New York Jets this Saturday night. Are the players looking forward to playing in their first preseason game? Wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Yeah, it's always excitement, especially going back out of Lambeau, man, like going out to see the fans and, you know, just that environment. It's a different feel. You get chills, and I'm excited, you know, for whatever that may be, you know, going out there. I'm excited for it.
Baseball, the Brewers have the night off before opening a weekend series against the Mets. The Crew beat the Braves 5-4 to complete a three-game sweep in Atlanta. Pat Murphy praised Jose Quintana and the pitching staff after the victory.
Bullpen was special tonight. Q, six-inning start. You look at that lineup. Eli White is as hot as anybody's got four homers in the last five games or something. Albies, Olsen, Ozuna, Murphy, Profar, Harris. Those guys are all have been an all-star or whatever. That's a good lineup.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. As summer winds down, we're still enjoying the outdoors. We'll be joined by Casey Hicks of the Wisconsin Conservation Voters next time to talk about how we preserve Wisconsin's outdoor heritage. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. We'll have highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms possible tonight. Lows around 68. Some heavy rain possible in areas. Friday, showers and storms. Otherwise, mostly sunny, warm, and humid. Highs around 90. The heat index into the mid-90s.
Currently, 72 degrees.
If you're like me and Netflix got you sucked into those glass-blowing reality TV shows, then you're going to love this new Wisco 411. It's brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. Did you know that the nation's only outdoor all-glass art event is in Neenah, Wisconsin? That's right, this Saturday from 10 till 5 at the Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass, you can witness the beauty of the annual Glass Arts Festival. It's free entry, you can watch glass-blowing demonstrations, enjoy live music, entertainment for the kids, and talk to over 40 different artists from all around the country. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Pam Yonke appearance on John and Gordon.
How about breakfast on the farm?
Yeah.
How did that go?
First of all, thanks to all the volunteers. Thanks to everybody that showed up. They were guessing north of 5,000 people that were there starting at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Got a chance to have a pancake. I looked down to eat my pancake. I looked back up, and all of a sudden there was a swarm of humanity waiting to stream into the machine shed for breakfast. So I thought it was really interesting to see what people are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the cows. The cows are the big attraction. Everybody wants to see them and kind of get a little perspective on how big they are.
Yeah.
But it was also cute to see they had three barn kitties, and kids could line up to hold the barn kitties.
Oh.
Now,
oh.
Babies of any kind are cute, but when you put barn kitties with little kids, it was just, if you want to see the pictures, I've got some up at Midwest Farm Report and Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. But it was really well done. Third time that the Hinchleys had hosted it. Mm. So again, like we said, really, really well done for sure.
All right.
That's excellent. You know, Cambridge is quite a nice little town.
It is.
Been through there a number of times.
Yeah. Now, we did talk about the artisan butter last week.
Right.
Well, now let's talk about the food and beverage innovation camp that's going on. Kekoman is putting this in.
Well, they're part of it. So I didn't know that this was going on. If you live or have drive through the Jefferson area. So what they're calling this is a food and beverage innovation campus. And what they're doing, Jefferson County, I don't know if you're aware, is home to quite a few different food companies. Nestle Food is down there. There's a lot of different food-related companies.
Jones,
and now they've decided to try to bring them all together in this food and beverage innovation campus.
Mm-hmm.
Kekoman is the first to financially commit to building their factory there, and that's already underway. According to the economic development people that are connected with it, they said they've already invested about $563 million to create this welcoming area. And one of the reasons why Jefferson is so well suited for this is the workforce. That's something that Jefferson touted for a long time, and they want to continue to bank on that. So this looks like it is very well supported, not only in Jefferson County as far as public monies, but also as far as the agribusinesses and food companies that are interested in coming there. The next phase, after they get started with the actual brick and mortar of the food manufacturing side of things, will be focusing in on creating the residential element for all the employees.
Sure.
That these companies are going to be needing. They said they know that they're out there, but they want to make sure they're close to where they're going to have to work. So that'll be the next phase.
That's great.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
1670 AM, The Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo, and you are listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Now, if I do my little fishing report here, and if you are willing to brave the slightly higher temperatures today, I think it's going to be a great day of fishing. It's going to be a power day. You're going to want to be throwing some of those fast-moving baits. I'm saying crankbaits, you know, chatterbait, spinnerbait, even topwater frog in the morning and evenings. I think these fish are going to be blowing up, and I'd be aiming for those weeds, like I've been mentioning. I think they're really going to be packed in there feeding. And again, for the smallmouth, I would aim the top of the drop-offs out there, the drop-offs and ledges. I think that's where they're going to be staging up, at least until it gets super hot in the day. And by then, you might not want to be out there anyway, because who likes to sweat their butt off when they're out there fishing? I mean, I do it, but that's probably because I have a fishing problem. I don't call it a problem, but anyway. If we move on with the show today, we are taking a look at something a bit more unique in Wisconsin that Wisconsin grows, and that is mint. Kylie Allen is here with Richard Gums to tell us about this year's mint harvest. Take it away, Kylie.
The cloud cover in early July and now the wildfire smoke haze that we're seeing is providing us quite the shield from the sun this July. Well, that lower UV index doesn't only mean that your farmer's tan isn't getting darker. It also is affecting our crop yield. Richard Gums of Gums Farms is here today to share an early harvest update from our mint crop.
Mint harvest is not going as well as it should. We've only been into it now about 10 days. But the oil quantity that we're receiving is not meeting our expectations. I'm a little concerned that the cloudy days that we had earlier in July and the haze and the smoke is really affecting the sunlight penetration, which is what helps form the oil in the leaves. So consequently, yield is extremely below par. That is a concern, and I don't know if it's going to change throughout the season. We're into the season now far enough, and nothing has really lived up to expectations, so it's a little concerning at this point.
When will you know if that has changed throughout the season?
Well, we should know in the next week or 10 days as we get into some different fields and some fields that are maybe looking different than others may react differently. We're just taking it one field at a time, and we're looking at other alternatives as to why the oil production is decreased, but this is one of the cloudiest, least amount of sunlight penetration into the crop that we've had, and I feel that's definitely a factor on the oil formation and the oil production.
Well, I think taking harvest just one day at a time is about all we can do when we're in the season. Can you explain to me, when you harvest the mint, how do you store it?
When we harvest mint, we windrow it very similar to what you would do alfalfa hay, and then allow it to cure in the field for 48 to 72 hours to dry down, so that when the harvest process continues and the hay is put into wagons that are enclosed and taken to the distill, is our term for the processing plant, where there is steam injected into that wagon, and it's steamed right into that harvest wagon. The steam evaporates the oil and vaporizes the oil, and then we collect the vapors, steam and oil vapors, condense them back into a liquid form, and then separate the oil. And it's only the oil that we are after, and we store the oil in 55-gallon galvanized drums. That's what the oil leaves the farm in, galvanized drums. The process of distillation takes about 2 hours, and once it's in the oil format and in the barrel, it's very stable and can last for months, if not a few years, until a home is found for that oil, whether it's the confectionery market or the pharmaceutical market or oral care market. Anything that uses a natural mint flavor is a end use for our essential oil.
Richard Gums of Gums Farms along with us. With harvest underway or just around the corner for many Wisconsin crops, be sure to keep an eye online at MidwestFarmReport.com for all the updates coming straight out of the field. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Coming up next, Aubrey Schlimgen gives us a look into how to stay cool when we're working out in the heat. Also, we'll take a look at the markets.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back, everyone. Now let's take a listen into Aubrey Schlimgen and Melissa Pluckelman-Brown on some tips to stay cool when working in the heat.
With high temperatures in summer, our livestock and animals tend to struggle in the blistering heat. But often we don't think about our farmers and ranchers also being affected by the heat and the damage that it can have both physically and mentally. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen with the Midwest Farm Report, and Melissa Pluckelman-Brown, who is the outreach specialist for the National Farm Medicine Center, discusses the importance of farmers taking care of themselves in the heat and how they can prevent those serious cases of heat illness.
Most important things is to remember that your body will acclimatize. So those first really hot days, you need to take more breaks and you need to drink extra water. Eventually your body starts to get used to it. And so when we move into the later summer and early fall, our body becomes a little bit more used to it, but we still need to do some things to prevent that heat stroke, heat stress. I'm going to give you the two most important things to prevent this. And number one is drinking water. Number two is taking breaks. As farmers and ranchers, we don't often take breaks and we don't like to. We want to get the work done when the time is right, but it's so important to make sure that we are taking breaks. So let's talk a little bit about water. You should actually be taking a couple swallows of water every 15 minutes, even if you don't feel thirsty. Without enough water, a body can't function properly and a person becomes dehydrated. And some symptoms of dehydration is just feeling thirsty, dry mouth, maybe you're not peeing as much, you're getting headaches or muscle cramps. Symptoms of severe dehydration are not peeing at all or peeing a very dark color yellow. You might get dizzy, rapid heart rate, rapid breathing, and even sometimes people get sunken eyes when they get severely dehydrated. And a person with severe dehydration could even faint. So farmers will sometimes admit that they drink less water when they're doing jobs on hot days because they don't want to have to stop to use the bathroom. And it's really important to remember that we don't want you to chug a bunch of water or a bunch of liquid at one time, but to keep the water close and take small drinks more often, because that's really going to help your body to absorb the liquid and not push it all out by needing to urinate so often. So picture a rag. You have just a dry rag in your hand. If you dump an entire bottle of water on it, most of the water is going to run right off. It might not even absorb into the entire rig. But if you take a spray bottle and you mist the rig over a long period of time, the rig will be able to absorb more water.
That was Melissa Pluckelman-Brown stressing the importance of letting our bodies naturally cool down when they're working extra hard. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
Now let's see how the dairy markets look. Class 3 milk for September is up 8 cents at 1850 100 weight, with October contracts up 9 cents at 1854 100 weight. 40-pound blocks closed down a quarter at 180, and butter closed down 1 at 243. And yesterday at the Governor's State Blue Ribbon Auction, they were able to total $378,050, with the Grand Champ steer going for $35,000. Stay tuned.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We've been explaining the basics of fair redistricting and unfair gerrymandering this week. Who does the redistricting, and how can that encourage fair maps and curb partisan and racial gerrymandering? In the majority of states, partisan legislative subcommittees draw redistricting maps. Because redistricting is so sophisticated and data-intensive, legislators often hire outside contractors and, all too often, data specialists from the majority party's national headquarters. In some states, advisory commissions are appointed by the governor and leaders of both parties. Sometimes it's all politicians, or in the case of Virginia and New York, a mix of political appointees and citizens. Such commissions can make map recommendations, but those recommendations are subject to change and often ignored by the legislature. For fair and competitive maps, constitutionally mandated independent citizen redistricting commissions in Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Michigan, and Montana have had the most success. Citizens registered as Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters are usually appointed in equal numbers and are required to follow redistricting best practices, including public input. In some cases, such commissions have unwound decades of rigged maps, which is why anti-voter politicians work so hard to stop them. We have details on all these redistricting models at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I didn't know what the hell Malort was, so here now, our own Carol, head of traffic, she's brought in Malort. Down the hatch, cheers to Malort. Now, it went down fairly smooth, but the back end is ridiculously terrible. Judas Priest, that's terrible. Once is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my time with women.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Waba.
We're record high cheese in June. What else can you tell me about that?
We had our export numbers come in here just the other day. Record exports on cheese and butter once again. So we're going in on the fourth month in a row of extremely high cheese exports, which is good. We are producing a record amount of cheese in the U.S. this year with the extra milk production. We had a very high milk production report come in as well for June. So we're pumping out cheese here in the U.S. So we need those exports to continue to keep moving so that we clean up all that extra product we have here in the U.S. So we ended up with 115 million pounds of cheese going out of the U.S. That was an increase of 34% over June of 2024. Our friends in Mexico continue to be our biggest trading partner, and our exports on cheese into Mexico for that month were up 14% year over year. That is our highest month ever for cheese exports. It is The last 4 months are four of the top five. So that's, again, year to date, we're blowing it out of the water as far as cheese exports go. Butter also a record month on the butter side as far as volume is going. We exported 14.1 million pounds, which is twice what we exported for butter a year ago. Traditionally, we are not huge exporters of butter. So the fact that we are moving this much butter consistently, we've now had three really strong months for butter export. So components continue to be strong coming out of the farm. Dairy producers continue to crank out high butter fat and protein milk. Therefore, we're making more products with the same volume of milk. We're finding good homes for that. And that is seeing us with a bit of a rebound this week as well in class three milk, giving us a nice bounce back higher coming through. And cheese found a bit of a bottom finally in the market. And we've now rebounded back up on the spot trade the last couple days, giving us hopefully a look at our fall rally that we all look forward to as schools get back into session, pulling a bit more of that milk production into bottling and just kind of equalizing out our milk production a bit more.
Well, another aspect to this dairy industry is that beef on dairy, and recently beef has been seeing some really high prices. What are you seeing on there?
This story is becoming more and more mainstream as well. I think folks have probably caught it on the nightly news and special comments here as we look at, you know, the big conversation over the last couple of years have been egg prices with bird flu and things coming in. We're going into record high feeder cattle prices and fat cattle prices, which equates out to a really strong market for beef in what has been a bit of a perfect storm over the last 5 years as far as droughts out west and things kind of just over time shrinking that herd down. And so that beef herd has really come into the dairy sector, and this has been kind of a 10-year, I would call it, program of the beef on dairy, crossing dairy cows with beef bulls to give it instead of a Holstein calf or a Jersey calf, you're getting a more crossbred calf. And that has really brought a nice sense of revenue to the farm. We are seeing prices three or four times traditional pricing for a day-old bull calf coming off of the dairy farm. And that is a great source of revenue. Right now, our figures look at cull cow prices and beef calf prices adding almost $3 a hundredweight to the revenue stream for a dairy. So for the average Midwest dairy farm, if you've got $17 or $18 milk checks coming into the farm, $17 per hundredweight, you're talking about that is now $20 of revenue into the farm. So it's a huge source of additional revenue right now coming into the dairy farm.
And if we go back, looking at those exports, obviously recently on August 1st, that deadline came past with some higher tariffs and some lower. How do we expect this to change for the cheese and butter?
Right now, as we look at our partnerships and the agreements that are coming in, Mexico, as I mentioned, our biggest trade partner, they had an extension on their trade negotiations. So that is good. We were not terribly concerned as it was, as most of the products who fall under the USMCA are currently free of any additional tariffs within our agreements with Canada and Mexico. So as far as the dairy sector goes, that should not have too much disruption. We also had agreements with South Korea come in. They are a good cheese buyer. We continue to see China get extended. They are more of a powder buyer, and traditionally they've been heavier for New Zealand as far as powders, but they've been quiet over the last few years in general as powder buyers. So short term, I don't think that has a huge direct impact. So right now, trade deals, as far as where we kind of look at the mix on dairy, a bit status quo, nothing shocking, nothing big or exciting in there. On the grain side of things, we're watching India right now. They're a big soy oil buyer for us. So there's a little bit of disruption within, again, feed prices into the dairy, soybean meal, that soybean meal, soy oil crush for dairymen has been a big dictator on price on soybean meal. So that's probably one watch point we're looking at over the next week or so, is how do negotiations and what goes on with India in the current, like near term, as far as trade stuff goes.
Jenny Weckershauser, a dairy broker with EverAg, joining us this morning. If you have any questions, make sure to visit ever.ag. Thank you for joining us on the Midwest Farm Report this morning. Signing off, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday.
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Researchers seek a better and safer way to hatch chicken eggs. That's next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. For more than 100 years, commercial egg hatcheries have used formaldehyde to prevent bacterial problems in the hatch. Since the chemical is on the hazardous side, a group of scientists at the University of Arkansas, including Danielle Graham, has been looking for an alternative means of bacterial control. In this case, says Graham, using probiotics.
It can be hard to make a direct comparison because formaldehyde is so effective. But yeah, I think, you know, moving forward, we're going to figure out ways to incorporate different types of bacteria. Apply the probiotics differently, and we can enhance the benefit that we see with these probiotics to hopefully keep moving in the right direction, which is away from formaldehyde if we can.
Graham says the idea is to have more control over the bacterial exposure to the chicks, more good bacteria and less bad bacteria.
By no means was it completely as effective as formaldehyde. I think we'll need a multifaceted approach to replace formaldehyde. However, you know, we're going in the right direction, I believe, by finding ways that we can reduce the use of formaldehyde, at least in the hatchery.
Another benefit of the probiotics, reduced respiratory damage from formaldehyde use. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
President Trump claims it is common practice to move a convicted sex offender to Club Fed. Is that accurate? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Matinair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Travelers continue to see delays and cancellations thanks to United Airlines' ground stop caused by a computer malfunction on Wednesday. More than 100 flights already canceled this morning. The White House and the Kremlin confirming that President Trump and President Putin have agreed to talk. President Trump wanted Ukrainian President Zelensky there as well. Russia has not agreed to that. The White House's so-called reciprocal tariffs kicked in at midnight. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro.
With the president, President Trump is doing is leveling the playing field on behalf of American workers, on behalf of American businesses. The tariffs will help pay for the tax cuts in the big, beautiful bill. The tariffs will help debt reduction.
Short term, American consumers are expected to pay the price, by some estimates up to $2,400 a year per household in added prices. The five soldiers shot and wounded at Fort Stewart, Georgia, allegedly by a fellow soldier, all recovering today. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding.